Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show.
My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'd like to welcome you to the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's weekly call-in show, where our motto is, we may be physically located in Washington, D.C., but our love for poetry is worldwide. So again, I'd like to bring you greetings from the great city of D.C. This city is in a tizzy because Pope Francis and his celebrating and sharing love and hope and peace for the entire globe. In this city, as a consequence of Pope Francis being here, it's very difficult to get around. That's why Blog Talk Radio is so amazing. You can stay at home in the comfort of your home. You can sit back, drink some tea, drink some coffee, drink some milk, drink some rum, drink some Ciroc, and feel safe and warm, again, in the comfort of your own home. I'd like to start by giving a shout-out to our friends in London, England. We always appreciate your support. And again, a shout-out to our fellow poets who tune in each week from around the globe. The DC Poetry Project's Power of Poetics radio show is really growing in terms of popularity, so again, I'd like to give a shout-out to everyone. I did receive a couple of tweets from last week, one of which wondered, after a very truncated show, what happened? This person in Memphis stated they wanted more, and I tweeted back, no. Due to technical difficulties, it's very difficult to continue a show like that. But it's okay. It's all good. We're back this week. So what I'd like to do is to go ahead and open up the lines and bring in some of our famous poets, new faces hopefully, and those who are faithful. So hold on 1 second. Good evening, area code 256. You're on the air.
What's happening, man?
Hello there, Gary Wing Dog Malone. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm good.
Great. That's good, man. You know, tonight in an hour or so, it's time for Empire. So this is This is our pre-Empire party. So welcome to you.
Thank you, man.
Any poems you'd like to share? Oh, yeah, you're more than welcome. Do you have any poems you'd like to share? We're just going to dive right in.
Oh, you don't have no more people on the line?
Well, not at this particular moment, so hopefully some others will join us. It might just be you and I, guy. Remember some months ago, about a year ago, we did it together? Might be another one of those.
Oh, yeah. I think they'll be coming. I was just curious. I was going to let somebody else go, but, I was trying to find this.
Okay, I'll go while you're looking, all right?
Better
give you a couple of minutes. All right, then. This is a poem by Lucille Clifton, and it was written in 1969. I was born in 1963, so this is not too far off from when I started on this planet. It's called Good Times. My daddy has paid the rent, and the insurance man is gone, and the lights is back on. and my Uncle Brud has hit $1 straight, and they are some good times, good times, good times. My mama has made bread, and Grandpa has come, and everybody is drunk and dancing in the kitchen and singing in the kitchen of these is good times, good times, good times. Oh, children, think about the good times. That's Louise Clifton, 1969. That's a beautiful piece of poetry. Simple, to the point, but it brings back a lot of memories. All right. I can share another one, Gary, until you're ready.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I will. These will be short. This one is called Afternoon on a Hill by the famed poet Edna St. Vincent Millay. I will be the gladdest thing under the sun. I will touch 100 flowers and not pick one. I will look at the cliffs and clouds with quiet eyes, watch the wind bow down the grass and the grass rise. And when lights begin to show up from the town, our mark which must be mine, and then start down. Another nice quick one from Edna St. Vincent Millay. I got one more, man. Want me to share it?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm listening.
All right, then. And I recited this one last year, and I like it because it was written by Lee Poe who lived between 1742 and 17. Oh, it was written by Lee Poe, between the years 1742 and 744. So 742 and 744. It's called Alone and Drinking Under the Moon. Amongst the flowers, I am alone with my pot of wine, drinking by myself. Then lifting my cup, I ask the moon to drink with me. Its reflection in mine in the wine cup, just the three of us. Then I sigh, for the moon cannot drink, and my shadow goes emptily along with me. Never saying a word. With no other friends here, I can but use these two for company in the time of happiness. I too must be happy with all around me. I sit and sing, and it's as if the moon accompanies me. Then if I dance, it is my shadow that dances along with me. While still not drunk, I am glad to make the moon and my shadow into friends. But then when I have drunk too much, we all part. Yet these are friends I can always count on, these who have no emotion whatsoever. I hope that one day we three will meet again deep in the Milky Way. That is Lee Poe, Alone and Drinking Under the Moon, written between 742 and 744. All right, my friend Gary, are you ready?
All right. Okay. This piece is called Another. You ready? Can you hear me?
Yep. I can hear you, bud.
All right. It's called Another. And another cycle begins. Another lonely night. Another tear to cry. Another year went by without her saying hi. Another sad song playing inside this mental radio of mine. After another quest for love, only to settle for another waste of time. Another missed opportunity, another second chance. Another prayer answered, turned into another wrong romance. Another fit of anger and another false accusation. Another lie, another argument, another round of hurtful words. Another reason to walk away and not even try. Left alone with another stressful mind created by yet another waste of time. Another pretty smile and another friendly greeting. Another pleasant, very nice to meet you. Secretly, both parties tired of rejection. Another blind date dressed in darkness. Another sexy deception. Another broken promise hiding another broken heart. Another ex calling and another one stalking. Another lame excuse and another day of nor text messages. Too much drama. Another last phone call. leads to another conversation. When will I ever find exhausted, not enough energy to throw another new penny into another wishing well, hoping for another divine dime, but determined not to spend another moment on another waste of time. So I'm back to square one, back to the very first line, and another cycle begins.
Okay. There's a lot in that piece. Like, talk about the inspiration. It's very deep.
Yeah, you're just too tired. It seems like the cycle, you know, in this game of, in this dating, you know, just single life, trying to find, you know, someone, you constantly meeting someone, and you're hoping that that's the right one, and then it ain't, you know, everything's starting off good, and then it find out to be, you know, turn out to be another waste of time. It don't nothing manifest until, you know, and it just, until you get that other one, that significant other, it just seemed like it's another cycle, you know. It's a continuing cycle of just, you know. And that's where was the inspiration for that. You just.
Yeah, I understand, man. It is a continuous cycle. It truly is. It's a continuous cycle. What we're going to do, we'll be right back. And we'll continue this journey. This is the Power of Poetics. And here we go. Back. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. This is the Power of Poetics. The call-in number is 646-716-8754. I'd like tonight to pay homage to someone, to Langston Hughes, by playing one of his pieces. I think it's time to hear a piece from Langston Hughes.
Good evening. Tonight, Mr. Langston Hughes, American poet, dramatist, novelist, lyricist, lecturer. He's in town to give a lecture at UBC, but he's here tonight to read poetry, his own poetry, to a jazz accompaniment. We have Alan Miller to interview him. We have Doug Parker and his band to provide the jazz. And Mr. Langston Hughes has his own accompaniment, his own introduction.
Suns are setting. This is what I'm going to sing. Suns are setting. This is what I'm going to sing. I feel the blues are coming. I wonder what the blues will bring. Drowsy, syncopated tune, rocking back and forth to a mellow croon. I heard a Negro play. Down on Lenox Avenue the other night, by the pale, dull pallor of a one bulb light, he did a lazy sway. He did a lazy sway to the tune of those weary blues. With his ebony hands on each ivory key, he made that poor piano moan with melody. Oh, blues. Swaying to and fro on his rickety stool, he played that sad, raggy tune like a musical fool. Sweet blues, coming from a black man's soul. Oh, blues. strong voice with a melancholy tone. I heard that Negro sing, that old piano moan. Ain't got nobody in all this world. Ain't got nobody but myself. I was going to quit my frowning and put my troubles on the shelf. Thump, 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 when he's put on the floor. He played a few chords and he sang some more. I got the weary blues, I can't be satisfied. Got the weary blues, I can't be satisfied. I ain't happy no more, and I wish that I had died. Far into the night, he crooned that tune. The stars went out, and so did the moon. The singer stopped playing and went to bed, while the weary blues echoed through his head. He slept like a rock or a man that's dead.
All right, everyone, that was The Weary Blues by Langston Hughes. It's a jazz poem, and we had an opportunity several months ago to do a program around jazz, and the combination with poetry is very, very interesting. So, again, that was Langston Hughes with The Weary Blues. All right. Gary, do you have another one, or you'd like me to share one? It's just you and I right now. Are you there?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me? I'm sorry. I have my phone on mute.
Okay. All right, then. Yes, it's just you and I for the time being. So we just have to keep on rolling. Would you like me to share another one? I've got another one that I could play. Want me to play
it? Yeah, go ahead if you want to.
Okay. All right, then. This is by a guy named Mike White, and he's out of Arizona, and the piece is called Tired. And it's slam poetry, and I found it really interesting. So, again, let's take a listen to Mike White.
I'm tired of love. I'm tired of these fake-ass thugs. I'm tired of weak pounds. I'm tired of street hugs. I'm tired of giving. I'm even tired of living. I can't stand to hear a bitch. They got me tired of hitting. I can't take it. Don't tell me you rule. I'ma break it. I'm tired of writing lyrics, not knowing if I'ma make it. I'm tired of faking and acting like we cool cats. I'm tired of seeing you and not having your tool black. I'm tired of moving. It's got me tired of proving that I'm skilled up. I can't be seen. I'm sick of choosing. I'm tired of skin. I'm sick of all the battles I win. I'm tired of being judged. So tired it never ends. Y'all tired of seeing me? Shit, man, I'm tired of being me. Then we both in the same boat, tired of misery. I'm tired of jokes. I'm tired of my mans when they smoke. I'm tired of seeing rain. I'm tired of being broke. I'm sick of feeling pain. Tired of having hope. I'm so sick of being sick. I want to slip up in a rope. I'm tired of guilt and having weight on my back. I'm tired of the same block, same hustle, same crack. I'm tired of heart. I'm sick of hearing cats get shot. Cause it hurts me to see what y'all feel when you drop. And being tired's gotta stop. I still got breath. I'm too tired to use the power to meet life after death. I'm tired of saying never. Tired of bad weather. To me, this life looks like I'll be tired forever. I'm sick of waking up. I'm sick of seeing my face. I'm tired of having labels and being mom's disgrace. I'm tired of the same place, man. My mind is gone. Only reason that I'm speaking, cause my rhymes are on. I feel like a time bomb. I'm tired of spitting fire. I'm tired. It's gotta end, y'all. I'm tired of being tired.
Very powerful young man sharing his story about feeling tired. I sometimes feel tired, too. Are you there, Gary?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I can relate. Definitely can relate to that.
Yeah. Well, I wrote a new one that
you
I'd
did.
Like to share. Yep, I finally wrote a new poem. And it's still, it's what it's called, a work in progress. It's not done. It's not finished, but it's along the lines of being tired. So what I'll do is share the part that I have, and we'll go from there, all right? So this is something that's just been on my mind lately. And it's called I Can't Remember the Rest. Our Father, who art in heaven, I can't remember the rest. Because heaven for me was bundled up in a brown haze when Daisy died in 1981. She was my heaven. As she grabbed my hand every morning and walked me to school, past the bullies, past the smell and stench of Lower South Side, past the sounds of, hey, Fat Albert, that were daily belched by the kids sitting on their gray front porch. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I just can't remember the rest. Maybe it's because I can't feel my name. I'm numb to the taste. Maybe the taste of my name is numb to me. Year after year of eating leftover dirt from a discriminatory mound of white sand, I can't remember the rest. Okay, I'm going to try it again. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I can't remember the rest. I can't remember the rest. Because as I walk on this earth, I can't find a place to rest. The earth that I walk on is covered in greenless grass and sunless moonlight. I can't remember the rest. Okay, I'm going to try one more time. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread. You know, this morning, I had a piece of toast. As I put on my suit, I was planning to go into work, and I adjusted my tie, my red tie that I tied into a Windsor knot, a tie that I had purchased the day before, and I brushed my teeth, and I looked into the mirror. But the man that stared back at me did not have my black skin. His eyes were not brown. His hair was not black. His skin was white, like the piece of paper he'd signed earlier that morning for the job that I thought I'd had. Okay, one last time. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I can't remember the rest, but I know that he does. The end.
I like that.
It needs a lot of work, but
you know what I like. I couldn't tell if you was, you know, what I like. That was, you know, when you couldn't remember the rest. I was like, okay, I just like that. I like that. That was different. I like that.
Well, you know, sometimes when you're going through a lot, sometimes you just feel like you can't. Sometimes you feel like you can't remember to pray. You know what I'm saying? That you don't know what to say because things just seem so burdensome in your life, you know, that when you start your prayer, you don't know what to say next because you can't remember. Your words just won't form like you'd like them to. So, again, you know, I'm going to keep working on it, but that's just a piece that was on my heart to write. So next time you hear it, it'll be ready. All right,
okay.
Gary, you're on.
All right. Title of this piece is, hold on, wait. Before I begin, the title is, hold on, wait, okay. Okay, now I'm ready. All right. The name of this poem, did I say that already?
You never said the name.
Okay, no. Hold on. Listen to me just spit it. Okay. First, let me tell you what inspired me to write this. The other day, I lost my place. I just forgot what I was going to say. Bear with me for a minute. Hold on, just bear with me. Man, I can't even read my own writing. Forget what inspired. Let me start all over. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Is my mic on? Hear you. Okay. I'm ready now. I'm ready now. All right, excuse me for taking so long. Man, this may be the worst I ever started. Mike, don't act, don't play like you knew that everything about this piece, everything I just did, is intentional. The end. That's it.
Okay. Well,
Did you not hear me? Everything I just did, it was a poem. The name of the poem is Worst Poem. Everything I just did was intentionally.
Oh, so all
and that comes
from
Pump. You remember a long time ago you told us to Pump about the worst poem you ever wrote?
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
But I never did get a chance to share it because I don't know if something happened. But anyway, that was it. Everything I was just doing a minute ago, that was the poem. That was part of the poem.
Hey, now. That was different. Now that was different.
That's why I kept laughing when you were saying, remember, I was like, oh, that reminded me of this piece. I'm like, okay.
But you know what? You know what, man? I'm saying this.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
I had you, Dilly. You didn't.
So.
That was funny. I like that.
Okay, my friend, we'll be right back. We are back. This is the Power Poetics. I can't remember the rest, but this is my worst opening ever. This is the Power Poetics, and the number is 646-716-8754. It seems as if it's male poetry night, and I know I'm going to recite a piece. Oh, someone's on the line. All right. Good evening. Area code 860. You're on the air.
Hello, Michael. This is Valerie from Maine.
Hello, Valerie from Maine. Valerie.
Hello.
Gary's here, too, from Alabama.
Hey, Gary. How are you?
Hey, Valerie. How are you doing?
All right,
good.
Valerie. All right. And there's one more person out here. He doesn't ordinarily say anything, but I always like to bring him in to say hello. Kofi, is that you?
Yeah. Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
I'm in transit, but I'm enjoying every piece.
Yes.
Our Father who is out in heaven. Yes. That was a good piece. I couldn't comment, yeah. But I love the work of all of you, really.
Your
greatest fan, so.
Oh,
thank you.
You're always with us. And I really appreciate that. I'll put you back on mute And we'll go from there. All right. Okay, Valerie, how's life in Maine, in the town with only 500 people?
Life in Maine is pretty good. You know what today is. You know what
today
is, don't you?
No.
Yes, you do. It's the first day of fall.
I thought, June 21st is the first day of summer.
Yes.
So September 23rd is the first day of fall.
Well, usually it's been the 21st. I don't know why it's the 23rd this year, but it is.
Okay, so I was right about the 21st, but it's just the wrong day this year.
Right. I don't know why it's the 23rd this year.
Oh. Well, whatever is the first day of fall. And Valerie?
It is the first. But it was a good day.
It was a great day, and it's even better now that you're here. So you're on the air. Would you like to recite a piece, or you need to get settled in?
No, I can recite one. I've got a little haiku, so don't take a break or go anywhere, because you know my haikus are short.
Oh, yeah, it's true. It's true.
This is a haiku about fall that I wrote last year, last October. It was almost November, too, about fall. Trees are on fire. It's kind of chilly out. Summer went away. The end.
One more time.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Trees on fire. It's kind of chilly out. Summer went away. The end.
Gary, any thoughts before I express mine?
She said it was a haiku, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was it was an ode to summer going away, wasn't it?
It was what?
A winter beginning, a fall beginning?
Yes,
hello?
It was a haiku about fall, you know, looking
right,
around,
okay.
The trees are on fire, you know, they're turning red.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I bet the trees in Maine are beautiful when they're red. The tree limbs.
Anywhere in New England, people come here for what they call leaf peeping tours.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Wow.
But that's my fall haiku that I can find.
Okay.
See if I can find another one later.
All right. Well, since we're on this theme of blossoms and flowers, this is a piece by Robert Herrick as read by Shakarma. It's called Poetry, the Corner, the Shower of Blossoms.
The Shower of Blossoms by Robert Herrick. Love in a shower of blossoms came down and half drowned me with the same. The blooms that fell were white and red, but with such sweets commingled, as whether this I cannot tell, my sight was pleased more or my smell. But true it was, as I rolled there, without a thought of hurt or fear. Love turned himself into a bee, and with his javelin wounded me. From which mishap this use I make, where most sweets are, there lies a snake. Kisses and favors are sweet things, but those have thorns, and these have stings. Thank you for watching the Shakarma Live Show.
Right. Shower of Blossoms by Robert Herrick. Any thoughts?
And I like it. I'll have to look up more of him. What was his name?
His name is Robert Herrick. H-E-R-R-I-C-K.
Robert Herrick. Okay.
Yes, I'm not sure when he lived, but that was a piece of poetry by Robert Herrick. All right. Do you have another haiku for us, Valerie?
Do I? I do.
Okay.
Actually, it's a poem. I gotta share this.
Okay.
Oh, no,
well, what I'd like you to do,
one?
Hold that
yes.
thought. I'd like to pull Gary
hold
in,
it.
And then we'll go back to your poem. All right?
Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent.
Gary?
Yes.
Yes. Please share another one, my friend.
Okay. History. I am history. We helped make history. After the creation, historically, he created his stories to be told for generations to generations to generations to come. Evolved out the Bible, out of the wilderness, out of the promised land, out of Africa, out of the oceans, out of the fields, out of bondage, out of darkness into the marvelous light, out of the book of Negroes. My history rose. Dirt, a seed, a city, a town, a country, a nation, an empire, a movement, a revolution. African, Negro, Black, American. A chapter, a page out of the book of Negroes. Born free, sold a slave, died a child, running, fighting, dreaming. Resurrected kings, queens, and warriors, more than conquerors from the book of Negroes. My history rose. A library of stories, chapters, pages, our lives, our journey, our tribes, our struggles, our triumphs, our achievements, out of the book of Negro heroes, I am Black history. That's it.
Black history. Wow.
Gary, you're one of my heroes.
Oh, well, thank you.
What a great poem.
Yeah.
Thank you.
As always, Gary, you hit, that a, was hit a, it out.
Remember off. That show that came on, that miniseries came on, The Book of Negroes?
No, I don't remember that one. Was it recently?
Yeah, it's been a while back now, about four or five months ago, but... They've been replaying it, but anyway, after watching that miniseries, I wrote that poem. Matter of fact, that was in February when that show was on. February, because I wrote the date I wrote this was February 21st.
Oh, wow. Book of Negroes.
Wow.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Always enlightening work. All right, Valerie. You're
yes,
on the microphone.
Michael.
You're on the microphone.
All right. I hate following Gary. That was great. This is called Id. And for those of you that don't know, psychology is broken, or something is broken down into the ego, the superego, and the id. The id is like all want. Well, all kids are all want, aren't they? So this was a poem published by Literature Today in Volume 3, which is about childhood. So this is about my daughter. I wrote this when she was 2. She's 9 now, so that should give you an idea of how old this is.
All right.
This is called Id. Her Id is terrifying and an envy to behold. I rescue abandoned juice cups bleeding onto the rug, drops at a time. The end.
Do you know, Valerie, I was just kind of nestling in to hear the rest. It was almost
hey,
like I was sitting ready to pour a warm cup
Don't
of
marry.
Coffee. And then you were done.
Yeah, how do you take your coffee?
I'm serious. I was just turning around.
Well, so should I read it again?
Yes.
You want me to read it again?
Yes, please, please.
Okay. This is called Id. Her Id terrifying and an envy to behold. I rescue abandoned juice cups leading onto the rug, drops at a time.
Now I can see it. Can you see a little girl running around and the whole world is hers?
Yes.
Everything
yes.
Is
I had that girl.
Yes. Everything revolves around her. Wow. Well, you know, good people, we're going to take a little break and we'll be back with the Power of Poetics. We're having a good night tonight. Hopefully the thousands of people who tune in every week are still doing so. And we will be right back.
Live from the nation's capital, it's the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show.
Bada boom, we are back. Power Poetics. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm joined tonight by Valerie and Gary, two noted poets, both located in states beyond Washington, D.C. So it's always good to have people from different states on this show. Tonight, though, we've got someone, a couple of people. This particular gentleman is from Ireland. All right. Here we go.
Cool.
We go fast like boy racers pulling out on the stunt lines. Stand like soldiers fighting out on the front lines. Party like a city boy on Friday, munch lines. Dare me not to drop both knowledge on punch lines. So to the four seasons of which I speak, our winter of discontent reaches a peak, we fall. Till we heat up like a summer that's Greek, rise up quick as an Arab spring in the Middle East. Yeah, I'm the London lyricist, feel me when I'm in the mist. See them when they running and they seeking out for something, but nothing is coming, it's cunning, how stunning they be running this materialist. In all seriousness, trying to dumb it down and dim it till we stuck and can't finish. No substance, gimmicks, and they call that lyrics? Nah. They use bars to brag about it. Have you got the skill, though? I highly doubt it. Aces high, said the king to the jokers, who were longing to feel both burdened and hopeless. But our mere existence is God's magnum opus. We're all here for a reason. Everybody has a purpose, but I'm walking backwards. Time is subtracting. Do I have a soul or am I chemicals reacting? We place our faith in hope. But what does hope bring? Young lovers proposing with silver smoke rings? Nah, this is more than just a rush of endorphins. Love exists even through the distortion. I put my lips to the best steel kiss I've ever known and get thrown. I can fold my thoughts up into a paper plane, fly them right through your ear and into your brain. That's the man that with my own two hands I've built when rivers of ink get spilt. But I saw my life flash before my eyes, and what I saw was a disappointment. It was really quite a bore. I mean, badly written, poorly acted, up for no awards. There will be no sequel. There will be no encore. I never pretended to be anything else. I laid my heart on the line even in spite of myself. I never questioned it, even for a minute. I thought, as my audience, you deserve to be in it. You deserved my warts and all honesty. And that's how we built up our chemistry. I would never lie to you, and I hope you respect that. You always stuck by me, so I guess that reflects that. But before I die, or at least go bust, the grand finale, now that I have your trust, the reason I do this and kick up a fuss is just to love. To love and be loved. When life flows like prose from the poet's pen, we compose in our droves. Here it goes again. Because we chose the rose that won't grow again. When life flows like prose from the poet's pen. Yeah, it's poetry because life is poetry. You can catch me with a line, but no, they ain't towing me. And what I leave behind is how you're knowing me. Yeah, it's poetry because life is poetry.
All right. His name is Itch, and he's out of Dublin, Ireland. What do you think?
That was
I
nice.
I liked that a lot.
remind me of a poem, reminded me, especially the end, reminded me of a poem that I had wrote. But yeah, that was very, very, I like the flow. I like this, even his accent, you know, the way he delivered that. That was very nice. I like that.
Yeah, that was a piece of slam poetry. And one of the things that I like about being able to find pieces online is that it gives us an opportunity to move outside of the U.S. way of being and thinking. You know, there are poets around the globe doing so many different things. And so that's one of the reasons why I try to bring in poets with an international perspective so that we can look beyond the U.S. Sometimes it's easy to think that we're the only people on the planet, but we're not, you know. All right. Is it my turn?
Your show, sure.
Okay, sure.
Sure.
Okay.
I've lost track.
All right, hey, well,
yes,
we're all in this
something.
Thing together. We're all in this thing together. And I shared this one time before. It's a poem I view as being my existential poem as I kind of think about life. And I dedicate it to Jean-Paul Sartre and Simone de Beauvoir. That's my little French thing. I dream of my plan to see Jean. She in the passenger seat, we below the cerulean blue sky, get high above the indigo-stained beaches along the Côte d'Azur. Carefree in our love, breathless from laughing. He who hesitates is not only lost, but miles from the next exit. Anonymous. I hear a loud and unexpected knock on the door. Hard times had decided to pay me a visit and resolved not to leave. I struggle to understand. Hard times never revealed the beginning or the end. He who hesitates not only is lost, but miles from the next exit, anonymous. So I cursed in the moonlight, sadly moaned in the daylight, Beckett peacefully slept while I waited patiently for Godot. I breathed weariness and dismay, rebuffed by a non-existent character in a play. He who hesitates is not only lost, but miles from the next exit, anonymous. Perhaps the past will repeat itself. I gallantly fought hard times before, tenderly held my own bloody defeat, victory unattainable in the cruel and one-sided war. I joyously cried to the strains of Lily Marlene, heard off in the distance. Hard times had moved on and knocked on another door, a new door. He who hesitates is not only lost, but miles from the next exit, anonymous. I dream of my plan to Jean. She in the passenger seat, we below the cerulean blue sky, high above the indigo-stained beaches along the Côte d'Azur, carefree in our love, breathless from laughing, we turn left onto Rue du Temple. The end.
And you wrote that? Nice. Very nice. Very. If there were video phones, Michael, you'd see me with my mouth open. It's like, wow.
Right. Well, what I'm trying to do is to be different with my work, to move outside
yes.
of myself and, you know, to explore life in different ways in terms of my thinking. Yesterday I had an opportunity to just sit down and just look at all the different people in Washington, D.C., or at least in the area where I was, you know, handling some business, so to speak, and just trying to open up my mind. And that's how I'd like my poetry to be. It's just open and free, you know, where I experience different things. All right. Yeah, I don't want to be stuck. I don't like feeling stuck. Gary, are you there, my friend?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Would you like to go next?
Yeah, I was trying to decide which one of these, One Day Away from Heartache or this piece, Beautiful Nowheres.
Okay.
I was trying to decide which one.
Okay.
I like the title, Beautiful Nowheres.
Yeah,
I want to hear
that.
Okay, I'll read that one then. Where are we going? Relax, baby girl. See, we are about to catch this falling star and explore some uncharted territories. Like Lewis and Clark, travel to destinations unknown, some romantic expeditions. We can go wherever our heart leads us expeditiously. Let's sail the mystical seven seas on a luxury yacht to Fantasy Island. Escape to the soft side of love. A paradise secret garden of happiness and bliss. Or cruise to super information highway in a convertible Maybach. All to exotic places, nothing but smiling faces. With a Ray-Ban in effect to block the sun rays to protect your pretty eyes. Let your silky hair blow in the wind and laugh while chased by the paparazzi. Like two stars checking out of a five-star inn we found on Booking. Yeah, let's climb a spiraling crystal staircase to the heavens, where dreams come true and mental realities that shatter the imagination, creativity, and creativity knows no boundaries. So you can think and wonder like Alice did in Wonderland. Then let's float on a motley hue rainbow, just you and I, a motley crew, listening to the soundtrack of life. Poetry wrapped in the disguise of R&B, gospel, jazz, hip-hop, country, rock and roll, and the blues. Smooth blended together to make a smoothie of poetic neo-soul. And we can sip refreshing cocktails of euphoria and Nevada and of utopia. Shake and stirred and serve chill on the rocks. And speaking of rocks, let's soar on the wings of love to rocky mountaintops, where we can dance between the raindrops. While hiking happy trails winding through an enchanted tropical rainforest, an abstract jungle filled with concrete ideas and moments bigger than Egyptian pyramids. Baby, let me take you on a magic carpet ride chauffeured by your very own genie and give you a Michael Kors bag full of unlimited wishes. Well, how about we stroll hand in hand down Lover's Lane near Memory Lane and make precious cherry memories to frame in your daydreams. And we can walk the tracks of my tears I happily cried being here with you. Then tomorrow, I would take you back to today so we can have just as much fun we did yesterday in the never, never land of beautiful nowheres. Now, baby girl, do you still want to go?
Wow.
Wow. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Wow. Valerie, you're on.
Yes, I am on. All right. This is I'm still continuing on the it's not summer anymore theme. Can you tell? I'm not looking forward to what's coming, but this is called The Summer Poem. Okay. Why did you leave so quickly? Was it something I said? Why were you so inconsistent with your warmth? The end.
One more time.
Settling
more
in,
time.
Were you?
Okay. One more time.
This is called Summer Poem. Why did you leave so quickly? Was it something I said? Why were you so inconsistent with your warmth? The end.
Why did you leave? That's deep. Why did you leave so quickly? Was it something that I said? Wow, Valerie. You knocked that one out of the park.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yes. I mean, you knocked all of them out of the park, but that particular one, for whatever reason, just kind of just gave me chills in a sense, because why did
the last time crazy? When she said, why were you so inconsistent with your warmth? Yes. You know, it varies, you know, the different days. It's summer, you know, some days, you know, well, you know, some days. I like that. I like that line very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Nice.
That's beautiful, 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 Valerie. Wow. Now, is that part of your collection? Is that in your collection? I don't remember.
That's not in my book. Okay. This is public on my next book, whenever that happens.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure when that will happen.
Do you have a title yet for your next book?
No, I don't.
Hey, Gary, what about you? Where are you in the process?
I ain't nowhere near. No.
Why not?
Because I just haven't gave it no effort. I just enjoy it writing. I don't really want to go through that. That's a chore. It's a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not up to it. I like doing what I'm doing.
Right.
I wish I could be motivated to do it. It's,
mm-hmm. It is a lot of work.
If I view it as a job like that, then I won't ever do it. I'll have to look at it as a task that I want to do and have fun doing it. But to me, I'm looking at it as a job, and I just don't want to do that.
Right. Well, that makes a lot of sense, you know. I mean, the craft part is beautiful, but you're right, trying to put it all together in a book, you know this, Valerie. I mean, it can be very, very time-consuming.
Yes, and you have to relive those poems over and over and over.
Oh, wow, it's true. It's true.
Which I don't. That part I don't mind because that part I don't mind of it. You know, because I even go back sometimes and look at reading some of the old stuff. Like, I wrote this in 2000 and such, and you know, and I'm like, oh, wow, you know, and it's still relevant or it still give me a new revelation or perspective on something. So I would enjoy doing. It's the putting together and all of the mundane of getting it all together and the time that it would take to do it.
It's very time-consuming, yes.
Yes,
how
very.
How long did it take
to
finish your book, Valerie?
What's that?
How long did it take you to finish your book, to write your book?
From
beginning to end.
Lots of hours. Lots and lots of hours. Lots of me looking at stuff going, should I put this here? Should I put this here? What shade should the cover be? I guess I'll play with Photoshop. Too many hours.
And the title details, I remember when you guest with the featured artist on our show, the title details. Tell me a little bit more about that again, the title.
That's what my poems are about. Mm-hmm. And I thought of that title, the dot, 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 and the details, dot, 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 in a sociology class back in 1997,
mm-hmm.
I think. But that's all I'm going to show you. That's all the poems are about. I mean, you know, I know people that have written poems that are 84 pages long. It's like,
Yeah, that's true. You know, the D.C. Poetry Project, we are going to participate D.C. Authors Festival. It's going to take place October 24th. So we're going to be one of the featured groups of authors, if you want to say so. And hopefully that's going to be a real nice day. That's a real nice honor for us. And we have other members, too, who are going to be a part of this, like Miss Cayenne and some other people. And one of our members, Sherry Woods, will be delivering a presentation on Sunday, the 25th. And she's going to talk about writing books. Well, everyone, we've come to the end of the hour. And I want to thank you and all of our listening audience for being with us. Have a great week, everybody. This is the power of poetics. Take care, good people. Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Good night, Gary.
Good night,
Michael.
Good night, Gary. All right.
Good one. Thank you.